Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 22nd of September, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi. I be here with a bee in my bonnet, so brace yourself, boys.
All right. John B. Martellaro is here today. Also with me today, I have Brian B. Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Hey, Kelly. How are you today? It's very good to be here. I'm so glad that you could have us. Thank you.
I'm not sure what's happening to my show right now, you guys.
Brian, my temperature is rising.
Excellent. I'm very glad to hear that, John.
So, all right. Buckle up, kids. It's going to be that kind of show. Brian, wrote up an interesting piece about, as per tradition, iFixit promptly getting their hands on new equipment and pulling it all apart.
Yep. So they got the Apple Watch Series 6. They did a teardown on the 44 millimeter version. They opened up the 40 millimeter version too. And we did find a couple things that Apple hadn't already told us. One of which is that the battery is slightly bigger than the Series 5. So the 44 millimeter Apple Watch Series 6, its battery is 3.5% bigger. So not a ton, but bigger. Mm-hmm. And the 40 millimeter version's battery is 8.5% bigger.
Interesting.
It is interesting. And then also, I honestly hadn't caught this last year, but apparently the 40 millimeter version of the Series 5 used a, what do they call it, the radical metal pouch design for the battery. Okay. And iFixit was expecting to see that in the 44 millimeter version, but did not this year.
Okay, interesting.
So it's still like the 40 millimeter version has this radical metal pouch design, and I don't know a whole lot about what that means. And then the 44 millimeter version does not.
Okay.
Next, also unannounced by Apple, not noted anywhere, is that the Taptic Engine is bigger.
Okay.
In the Series 6 than it was in the Series 5. Well, I think when it comes to something like the Taptic Engine, that is probably the case.
Yeah.
The bigger is, in fact, better.
That's my
Series 6 right there. She's chiming in.
I wonder if part of that is because there are a variety of Taptic feedback options available in the watch, and so maybe people were having a hard time distinguishing, and the bigger engine will help. I don't know. Casual speculation on my part.
I think that the they didn't really delve into it, but I believe the Series 5 had a slightly smaller engine, and so it seems like maybe Apple decided that small was that as John said, bigger was better.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's also interesting that again that Apple didn't mention either of those things. But here's the surprise.
Okay.
To me,
I'm ready for the plot twist.
It's slightly thinner.
Ooh.
Is it lighter?
I don't know. We didn't talk weight. They didn't talk weight, and I haven't weighed mine.
Okay.
I don't have a scale that sensitive. I blame my lack of drug use throughout my life.
Oh yeah, that's probably it.
You could send it to me. I have a scientific scale. I could do a milligram.
Well, when your watch shows up, we'll weigh yours.
Yes, let's do that. I like that one better. So the Series 6, again, the 44 millimeter version is 10.4 millimeters tall. Mm-hmm. And the Series 5 was 10.74 millimeters tall. So not quite a quarter millimeter thicker.
Mm-hmm.
It is essentially imperceptible. That's actually, I'm quoting iFixit's word there, and I would have to agree. I certainly didn't notice as I was changing out my Apple Watches that the Series 6 is slightly thinner. But it's interesting that we did get slightly thinner, and we got the slightly bigger battery.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's interesting. And one of the reasons why it might be thinner, or one of the things that went away that could have helped with the thinness, would be the Force Touch gasket that apparently was in the case. That's gone.
Okay.
It still does a Force Touch, but it doesn't use the Force Touch gasket apparently that it was using before. So that probably is a big part of why it was able to be thinner. But keep in mind too that it's got the new system on a chip, or system in package, as Apple calls it, the S6 mm-hmm. versus the S5. That might be a little bit smaller. iFixit didn't specify on that. We've got the larger Taptic engine. We got the larger battery. We've got the new system on a chip, and we have new sensors.
Yeah.
And yet it's a little bit thinner. So I'm kind of excited about that.
So we're back to four optical ports in the back that radiate?
Correct.
Yeah.
Curious.
Yeah. Red and green light, apparently, is how they're doing.
Plus, there's an infrared one for the SpO2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, might be. And for all of those who were concerned, yesterday's blood oxygen level for me was at 100%.
All right.
And I'm just testing it right now.
Well, you're at sea level.
Yeah.
That would be expected.
Unsuccessful measurement.
Uh-oh.
Apparently I'm dead.
I'm That's almost 2,000 meters above sea level, so I'm constantly monitoring mine.
Yeah, it does a really, really neat graphic while it's doing this particular measurement.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's using blues and reds. I'm assuming that red is representing blood and blue is representing oxygen.
Probably.
And, 96%.
Uh-oh.
Only 96%. Apparently, I have the COVID.
Okay, that's too bad. We'll have to... the part of Brian will be played by his understudy the rest of this week, apparently.
Yeah. most people have a blood oxygen level of 95 to 100%. Your blood oxygen level can vary throughout the day. Interesting.
All right.
There you have it.
Yeah. And I'm always curious to see what it is that iFixit pulls out of these that's notable. And I think more battery and extra sensors in a thinner case is pretty interesting. This may have something to do with Apple doing more with battery. I would like to know, Brian, if that translates into any sort of noticeable difference in battery life for you.
Well, that's an interesting question because, first of all, I did put it on midday yesterday. So,
right.
I certainly don't have any kind of accurate reading yet, but I have always noticed that a brand new Apple Watch has significantly more battery life than even a 2-month-old battery, mm-hmm. Apple Watch. So I don't know how, I mean, like, it's going to take time to have any kind of accurate,
right,
real life measurement of that.
Yeah. But that was the thing I was wondering when you talked about the battery being bigger enough to sort of make a difference. I wonder if that will translate into.
Well, and it's only 3.5% bigger.
Oh, I'm thinking of a smaller one then. That the 40 had a bigger,
fair enough.
That it had 8%. Okay, that was the one I was thinking of. So I am curious how that will translate for people. So if you get a Series 6 and once you've had it for a couple of weeks and you've got a better idea of what battery life looks like, please let us know if you're noticing a difference, because I'm always curious about that. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And that's not just for Apple Watch. Dear listeners, you can do that for everything. Right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is MacPaw Software. They make an app called Clean My Mac X. What you can do with this is it's sort of a maintenance utility. It's kind of a custodian for your Mac, and it does a bunch of cleaning. It will clear out temporary files and system log files that you don't actually need for anything anymore. It does a quick malware check. It'll do some optimization to help generally speed things up. This stuff doesn't take a long time to do either, so it comes out being pretty pretty low impact as far as like fire it up, run through your tests, and get things cleaned up and get back to what you were doing. It can also help highlight some of the performance draining processes that you have on your computer. And this is much nicer than having to open Activity Monitor and start guessing at the things that you need to quit. I think we've all done that dance at some point. It gives you control over apps and files. You can figure out what's on your system that you don't need anymore. And if there's old things laying around from previously installed applications and stuff, you can clear that stuff out too. And it's currently in the process of being updated to be 100% compatible with Big Sur. You can get your free demo at macpod.app/TDO. That's macpaw.app/TDO for your free demo. And we'd like to thank MacPod for sponsoring the show today. Now, we have another interesting thing to discuss today. And that interesting thing is our own John B. Merdalero's immunity to fun and happiness. And I'm going to let Brian elaborate on what exactly it is I mean.
Well, it would be one thing if Mr. Martellaro would actually watch more of the show before deciding that it's terrible.
I can't stand it.
And that show is?
It's just ridiculous. Anyway, Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso and Kelly helped me. Actually, Kelly and Dave Hamilton helped me come up with a title for my sort of near end of season review of the show. And that's that Ted Lasso soothes our 2020 soul.
It soothes our soul. You mean it's like TV's version of hemorrhoid preparation H?
Sure, John. And
yeah, because you know, you can use preparation H to get rid of bags under your eyes too. Like, it's multi-purpose. It's good stuff.
Maybe it'll blind me, so I won't have to watch any more episodes.
Yeah. So why? So let me ask you this, John. Why on earth? Like, let's say that I've got this right. That it was the end of episode three when I fell in love with the show. So my premise was I started watching the show because I'm a Jason Sudeikis fan. And that kept me watching episode one and two. I didn't really understand where the show was going. I didn't understand the look and feel of the show yet. I thought it was basically sort of a, you know, hyper, what's the word I'm looking for?
Oh no.
That it was a show that was basically juxtaposition, this complete silliness amongst not silliness, and that was the point of the show, and that's not the point of the show. And by the time I got to end of episode three is when I started grokking the show and started really, really loving it. And then from then on, episodes 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, they just made me happy, and they just made me feel good, just like... Now, like satisfied and hopeful and charmed and delighted and just like, you know, I couldn't wait for the next episode.
So let me put two things in. Bone. Hold on, John. As a PSA to people who haven't watched Ted Lasso, are not familiar with it, this is a streaming show on TV Plus. It is half hour episodes. I know a number of people who didn't realize that it was a 30-minute commitment instead of a 50, 55, 65-minute commitment. So half an hour, not too bad. So I, like I said, I know a number of people that I'm like, well, I mean, it's half an hour. Like, it's not a big deal if you want to watch it for half an hour. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize. Well, yeah, of course I'll check it out, you know, if all I'm committing to is half an hour. Second of all, I think
you need
my...
an hour and a half because you need three episodes.
Yes, well, yes. To dig into it and figure out the deal. Yes, it really hits its stride in the third episode. I will say that. But the other thing I want to point out.
I have to watch another one. Oh, no. Yes.
John, I happen to know that you have.
Already crawling.
John, let me finish. One second. The best thing about this show to me personally is that for those 30 minutes, I can almost forget it's 2020. Yeah. And that's like the best thing I can say about this. It warms my heart. I really cared about that thing that happened in that episode because I'm not going to give anything away.
Army soldiers and biscuits and showers and shower jokes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I thought, it's in the second episode. It gives nothing away. I thought the shower joke was hilarious. And I watched this with Mr. Kelly, who generally does not laugh at that sort of thing, and he also chuckled at it. There are very small things
to the shower joke. There is a story arc point
to the hearts of the players. Yes,
but also like
sports psychologist. It's
a sight gag. It's slapstick. The shower joke we're talking about, and they put that in with. Turns out English is a very silly language. Jokes, and they also put in real deep cuts, like there's a gay Talese joke in there for people who know exactly who that is, and like so it goes from a deeply intellectual, like that's a deep cut for intellectual people, I only know because I'm a journalism nerd, and they go from that to a slapstick joke, and all those things fit in there. For people who don't know, this is a show that was co-created by Bill Lawrence, who also created Scrubs. For people who remember that show, our own Charlotte Henry had an interview with Bill Lawrence to talk about the program, and you can read that over at macobserver.com. But if you are interested, those are the things I can say about it. And John, because we're hashing it out here now, I don't have to come on background mode and talk to you about it and try and sell you there. So tell us why it's terrible.
No, it's ridiculous. It's insipid. It's puerile. It's like one long 30-minute Saturday Night Live skit. It's irritating. It's silly. It has no redeeming values. It has no grace.
It has no redeeming value. I just told you it made me almost forget it was 2020.
I will admit that probably a lot of people like the show. So the fact that I don't like it is
proof you're not people.
Irrelevant is irrelevant, basically. But I did not find the show satisfying.
You won't get, like, what if
people do things? People do things as it don't happen in real life.
What if we're right, John?
Well, you may be right. It's right for you. The show is right for you, and it's right for Kelly.
No, hold on. I've said that you need to watch the three episodes, and that it was episode four when it started having this profound effect on me. So what if I am correct? And what if you are cutting yourself off from, like,
joy, you know,
delighted surprise and joy and the warm fuzzies and hope.
Oh no, I have to
because you won't give it a chance.
I watched the second episode.
It's like it's a 30-minute risk versus possibly hours of joy.
12 minutes into the second episode, I was looking at my watch and I'm going, how long do I have to endure this? So I switched over. I watched the end of the show and then my wife came down from our office, and then we watched Mandalorian, which is really good. We're working our way through Mandalorian, the first season, for the second time.
I love the Mandalorian, but it's a very different show.
Well, it's my kind of show. It's the kind of stuff I enjoy.
Well, we both enjoy.
Kelly and I both enjoy
Mandalorian too.
John, you know I adore the Mandalorian. Well, as we've
I know you do.
Established in the Ted Lasso universe. Of course, it's not your cup of tea because tea is just hot garbage water.
Yes.
Well, see, you laughed at that.
I'm a tea fan.
Well, so am I, but I still thought that was funny.
Allow me to read from the conclusion of my piece. Is that all right, Kelly?
Of course.
The greatest gift this show brings is a feeling of hopefulness. In an age when despair, anguish, and rage are seemingly part of our daily diet, Ted Lasso, the character, and the show are hopeful. Ted Lasso, the character, sees the best in everyone, and the show allows us to share in his joie de vivre, to participate in his overwhelming positivity. Sure, there are ugly moments in the show, as some characters' flaws rear their heads and bring us drama and comedy, but a feeling of triumph is always front and center in this amazing TV show.
And you know what I love about, I think I figured it out as I was thinking about this the other day. I think what it is I love about the character, Ted Lasso, is that it's not like he's clueless and is just relentlessly positive for positivity's sake and going through. Like, he gets a read on everybody in the locker room. He knows what to do with the people in the team, how he interacts with them. And so it's a lot smarter than just, here's a happy American dude that gets dropped in the middle of a soccer team and has to make do. Right, me too. Well, and that's why I was worried about it.
Star player where he was talking about, instead of being one in a million, being one of 11.
Mm-hmm.
And having a psychological influence on that player. I see the sports psychology there.
Uh-huh.
I understand that, that doesn't make the show enjoyable for me. It's just, well, I just understand what he's doing.
Well, to me, it's not even the sports psychology of it. It's the way he interacts with everybody. Like, finding a way to interact with his boss. Finding a way to interact with the gear guy, the kit man. Finding a way to interact with all of the people that he needs to interact with in a day. And finding and getting a read on those people in order to make sure that the interactions he has with them is successful. And he's very, very good at that. And that's a very smart thing. And that's a skill not a lot of people have, which I think is probably why I notice it. So that was the thing. That was the thing that I noticed about the show as I was thinking about it.
Charming way, he does it in an irritating way.
Well, I don't think it's
successful.
I would love to hear what your listeners think.
I would love to hear what my listeners think too. So please let us know.
I recognize I'm probably in the minority, but he asked me for my opinion and there it is.
I did. And that's why. So if you are a fan of Ted Lasso or not, you can write to us at observations@macobserver.com. And again, TMO Daily on Twitter and comments in the show notes. But that's going to do it for us today. So I'd like to thank you both for being here. Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Yep, thanks for having us, Kelly. Good to be here.
John, as always, thank you for being here. Even though we disagree, I love you anyway.
Aw, thanks for having me. See you later.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamano. We'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.